यनञ्जनाशलाकायः चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद श्री गुरु महाराज श्री गुरुदेव श्रील आचार्य देव की जय, गौर भक्तवृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। See, we'll sing Dhammadharastakam before we begin. Namam Ishwaram Sachidanandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Vrajamanam Yashodabhiyo Lukaladavamanam Param Rishtamatyantatodrutyagopya Rudantam Muhurnetra Yugmam Rajantam Karambhojayugmena Shantankanetram Muhusvasakampatirekankakanta Stita graivam damodaram bhaktipadam Itidrikswalilabhiranandakunde Swagosham nimajantam akyapayantam Varam deva moksha mam na moksha vadimva na chanyam vrineham varishadapiha idam teva purnata gopalabalam sadame manasya virashtam kimanyai idam te mukambojam atyanta nilair Ritam kuntalai snigdha raktaischa kaupya Muhuschum bitam bimba raktadaram me Manasya virastam Kripa drishti vrishyati dinam batanu Grihanesha mamagyam edyakshidrishya Kuveratma jo bada murtyaya vyadfat Tvaya mochito Namo kshe groho me sti damodareha Namaste stu damne spora dipti damne Tvadiho dorayata vishvasya damne Namo radhikayai tvadiya priyayai Namo nantalilaya devaya tubhyam Namam Ishwaram Sachidanandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashodabhiyo Lukaladavamanam Param Hristyam Shyamsunder Prabhu, would you like to read the first three? Thank you, Prabhu.
One, the Supreme Controller possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifests himself in Gokula, stored the butter. The gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and to who then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, who was ultimately caught. To that supreme lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances to. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and as Mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes, he shivered in fright and his pearl necklace shook. To this supreme lord, Sri Damodar, offer my humble obeisances. Three. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayana in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times.
And then Kusum, would you like to read the next three, Kusum Devi?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hi, thank you.
O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benediction, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastime may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow, and I am almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy on me. Uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision.
Thank you. And then, Jadu Krishna Prabhu, would you like to be the last ones, too?
Thank you, Maharaj. O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kuvera, Mandagriva, and Nalakuvar, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation into your effulgence. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which is bound by a rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes.
Jai, thank you, Prabhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kaya vritya vartitam vas charabhi kshiti mandalham tirtani kshetra mukhyani sevitani habutale. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Purport. When Vidura went out from the palace to detach himself from household affairs, especially political intrigues, as referred to herein before, he was practically insulted by Duryodhana's calling him a son of a Sudrani, although it was not out of place to talk loosely in the case of one's grandmother. Vidura's mother, although a Sudrani, was the grandmother of Duryodhana, and funny talks are sometimes allowed between grandmother and grandchildren. But because the remark was an actual fact, it was unpalatable talk to Vidura, and it was accepted as a direct insult. He therefore decided to quit his paternal house and prepare for the renounced order of life. This preparatory stage is called Vanaprastha Ashram, or retired life, for traveling and visiting the holy places on the surface of the earth. In the holy places of India, like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Jagannath Puri, Prayag, there are many great devotees, and there are still free kitchen houses for persons who desire to advance spiritually. Maharaj Yudhisthira was inquisitive to learn whether Vidura maintained himself by the mercy of the free kitchen houses or chhatras. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Svantahas Tena Gadabrata. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere. Just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifest in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take bath in the Ganges or Yamuna or to visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruit of action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Shukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit, and this is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. Now, this is an important point, that the holy places are holy by the effect of the holy persons that are living there. It says if one goes to a holy place like Vrindavan simply to visit that holy place, knowing of its reputation as a holy place, and does not go to hear from the saintly devotees who are living there, or devotee, if one can find a genuine Vaishnav, then he is no better than the cow or an ass. Because why? and many cows and asses and monkeys, etc., birds, all living there in Vrindavan also, or any holy place we may find. So many creatures living there. And then just going there to live, to visit, that is not the fulfillment of the purpose of going to the holy place. The real visit of the holy place is to see the holy devotee, and meet with the devotee and hear from them, serve them. And then one has fulfilled the mission of pilgrimage properly. Otherwise, simply eye exercise or leg exercise, that does not constitute actually visiting the holy place, understanding the purport. And the devotee is always going to actually connect with the devotee of the Lord. Dasu dasana dasa, as the servant of the servant. And then in this mood of devotional service, not merely going to seek liberation. Oh, if I go to the bathe in the Ganges or the Jamuna or whatever, then I may get free from my sinful life. Not exactly like that. That is also important and definitely beneficial for one's spiritual progress. But the real essence of all the activities of a devotee is how to increase his devotional service, how to increase in his service, his surrender, for the satisfaction of the Lord, and not for any fruitive purpose, and not for any increasing any speculative understanding of God.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Yes.
What you're saying right now ties very much into the last things you were saying on our last song on Thursday night, when you were saying it's not possible to conceive of such Chidananda as long as we have some element of finitude or temporality. You close the discussion by saying it's this is very difficult for us. Our self-centeredness limits our own consciousness. But it said it becomes easy due to the grace of Krishna and Guru. And I wondered if you might expand on that, that last part, the grace of Krishna and Guru. Because it seems like we're in a trap if we desire to seek knowledge of this higher realm. It seems as though we have left behind the service. And so I'm really very, it's a very, very confusing point to me.
Okay. So the main thing about temporality and finite existence is our self-centered point of view, that I make the locus or the center of my life myself and try to view everything from that point of view, that perspective. That brings everything within the relativity of the self, self-centered attitude. Or self-centered perspective, we should say. Only way to free ourselves from that perspective is surrender at the lotus feet of Gurudev and Krishna. Surrender to Krishna and Gurudev. Reality, to gain the perspective of reality by itself and for itself. Instead of reality for me, I try to rise to the platform of reality by itself and for itself. Not for me, but for itself. Reality exists in that plane, in the plane of eternality, not finite, infinite existence, which is by itself and for itself. You see?
I see.
Krishna is for himself. He is enjoyer. And we are meant for him. And as much as we can rise to that platform through surrender and service and self-forgetfulness. Self-forgetfulness. By becoming self-forgetful, we can be mindful of that. That comes automatically when one becomes mindful of Krishna, Krishna-centered. Now, how does one get that to that point? Not by any effort, of course. Whatever effort we apply ourselves to come to the plane of self-forgetfulness, what will we be doing? We'll be thinking, in my effort, I'm doing it. It's me, me, me again. Whatever effort I make, my effort will be involved. Then it will be self-centered. How can we do it without making any effort that it actually becomes other-centered? That happens only in love. Who has love for Krishna, that will automatically come. Self-forgetfulness will automatically be there, because whom you have love for, you immediately forget yourself and are focused within your beloved. If you don't know anything about love, everyone has some inclination about that. When there is love, then immediately one forgets oneself and becomes concentrated upon the beloved. Then how to get that love? We're born into this world loving, self-loving, loving ourselves, loving so many things. All finite perspectives. Then, how to get free from that? That, again, if we think what I can do, then again the I comes in. But if we remember that there is also something called mercy. Mercy doesn't come from oneself. You don't give yourself mercy. Mercy has to come from outside of yourself. So like that. When that mercy comes from outside of ourself, through Guru, through Krishna, that becomes a non-self-centric conception. The mercy is coming to us from somewhere else. Then again, we can understand that other-centeredness, that God-centeredness, and that will bring us, that love will envelop us and raise us to that platform of self-forgetfulness and Krishna-centeredness. That's the secret, that's the key. So how to get that mercy? That's the only thing we can attempt for. That's the only valid endeavor the finite can make, is to beg for that mercy, to implore that, please give your mercy to me. That mercy means give me the taste of your love, loving service. Then we escape the finite realm, the finite sphere of reality, and enter into the infinite sphere of reality. And there it becomes a taste of Satchidananda is possible. Okay. Clear?
Yes, Maharaj, that's quite lucid. Thank you very much.
Okay. Then, 1.13.11, Apinaha sudras tata pandavaha krishna devataha tristaha srutta vadyaravaha svapuryama sukhamasate. You gotta mute your mic. My uncle, you must have visited Dwaraka. In that holy place are our friends and well-wishers, the descendants of Yadu, who are always wrapped in the service of the Lord Sri Krishna. You might have seen them or heard about them. Are they all living happily in their abodes? Purport. The particular word Krishna Devataha, i.e. those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna, is significant. The Adavas and the Pandavas, who were always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his different transcendental activities, were all pure devotees of the Lord like Vidura, Vidura left home in order to devote himself completely to the service of the Lord. The Pandavas and the Adavas were always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna. Thus, there is no difference in their pure, unalloyed devotional qualities. Either remaining at home or leaving home, the real qualification of a pure devotee is to become wrapped in thought of Krishna favorably, knowing well that Lord Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead. Kamsa, Anjarasandha, Shishupal, and other demons like them were also always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna, but they were absorbed in a different way, namely unfavorably, or thinking him to be a powerful man only. Therefore, Kamsa and Shishupal are not in the same level as pure devotees like Vidura, the Pandavas, or the Adavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira was also wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his associates at Dwarka. Otherwise, he could not have asked all about them from Vidura. Maharaj Yudhisthira was therefore on the same level of devotion as Vidura, although engaged in the state affairs of the kingdom of the world. So whether at home or away from home, the whole emphasis here is on remembering Krishna. Wherever one can do that, then it is a valid existence, a valid place to be. If home becomes a place of forgetfulness of Krishna, then one should leave. One can leave. That is also allowed in the scripture. And if the place at home is conducive to devotional service, then no problem. One can remain there and serving the Lord. This is the criterion. Is our life Krishna-centered or self-centered or extended self-centered to a family, friends, society? All those different concerns are considered external. Only the fully surrendered service of the Lord is the desired goal, and whatever circumstance that can be reached, then one is in a favorable position of serving the Lord. Iti yukto dharma rajena sarvam tatsam samavarnayat yatanubhutam akramaso vinayadu kulukshayam. Thus being questioned by Maharaj Yudhisthira, Mahatma Vidura gradually described everything he had personally experienced except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Nanvapriyam durvishaham ananama svayam upastitam avedayat sukaruno dukitana drastam akshamaha. Compassionate Mahatma Vidura could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. Purport. According to Niti Shastra, civic laws, one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Distress comes upon us in its own way by the laws of nature. So one should not aggravate it by propaganda. For a compassionate soul like Vidura, especially in his dealings with the beloved Pandavas, it was almost impossible to disclose an unpalatable piece of news like annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, he purposely refrained from it. One quality of a devotee, an important quality, he doesn't give harm or distress to others. Devotees' business is always to encourage others in devotional service. Well, all of his activities are meant for that purpose only. Not envious of anyone. But a devotee always acts in a way that others will be benefited in their service. Will be impelled to go in the service direction rather than in other direction. Sometimes it may appear the devotee is giving stress to others in order to correct them of their improper activities. It may seem like that to the person who is being corrected, but ultimately it is meant for their benefit. Devotee acts always for the benefit of others, never for entangling them or becoming entangled with them in some non-godly or non-Krishna-centered existence. Kanchit kalam atavasid satkrito devavat sukam pratur jayis jastasya shreyaskrit sarvesham sukam avahan. Thus, Mahatma Vidura, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother and in this way bring happiness to all the others. Purport. Excuse me. Saintly persons like Vidura must be treated as well as a denizen from heaven. In those days, denizens of heavenly planets used to visit homes like that of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And sometimes persons like Arjuna and others used to visit higher planets. Narada is a... excuse me, one second. Narada is a spaceman, an astronaut, who can travel unrestrictedly, not only within the material universes, but also in the spiritual universes. Even Narada used to visit the palace of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and what to speak of other celestial demigods, it is only the spiritual culture of the people concerned that makes interplanetary travel possible, even in the present body. Maharaj Yudhisthira therefore received Vidura in the manner of reception offered to the demigods. Mahatma Vidura had already accepted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his paternal palace to enjoy some material comforts. He accepted out of his own mercy what was offered to him by Maharaj Yudhisthira, but the purpose of living in the palace was to deliver his elder brother Dhritarashtra, who was too much materially attached. Dhritarashtra lost all his state and descendants in the fight with Maharaj Yudhisthira, and still, due to his sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhisthira. On the part of Maharaj Yudhisthira, it was quite in order to maintain his uncle in a befitting manner, but acceptance of such magnanimous hospitality by Dhritarashtra was not at all desirable. He accepted it because he thought that there was no alternative. Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and to give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. It is the duty of the enlightened soul to deliver the fallen souls, and when Vidura came for that reason, but talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. This is the way of spiritual realization. The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul, and by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect stage of self-realization. So this is why the devotee, in whatever he does, he tries to connect with the devotee, with the Vaishnava, so that he can hear. Can hear from the lotus lips of the pure Vaishnava, pure devotee, pure Vaishnava. And in that way, become freed of his conditioning, material conditioning or material consciousness. When one continues, by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect state of self-realization. Continuously hearing from the proper source, from the liberated devotee, not from the conditioned soul, then one can attain the great perfect state of realization. And that's why we stick to the words of Prabhupada here. Reading the words of Prabhupada, trying to understand properly, or the words of Guru Maharaj or Gurudev or Charyadev. Try to hear from them as persons who have already surrendered to this process and thereby get some benefit in coming to that same platform, that our consciousness may come to that same platform of surrendered service. Abhirad Aryama Dantam Yatava Ragakarishu Yavad Dadharad Asudratvam Sapad Varsha Satam Yamaha. As long as Vidura played the part of a sudra, being cursed by Makundam Manduka Muni, Aryama officiated at the post of Yamaraj to punish those who committed sinful acts, purport. Vidura, born in the womb of a sudra woman, was forbidden even to be a party of royal heritage along with his brothers, Dhritarashtra and Pandu. Then how could he occupy the post of a preacher to instruct such learned kings and kshatriyas as Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Yudhisthira? Then how could he occupy the post? Sorry. The first answer is that even though it is accepted that he was a sudra by birth, because he renounced the world for spiritual enlightenment by the authority of Rishi Maitreya and was thoroughly educated by him in transcendental knowledge, he was quite competent to occupy the post of an acharya or spiritual preceptor. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone who is conversant in the transcendental knowledge or the science of Godhead, be a brahmana or a sudra, a householder or a sannyasi, is eligible to become a spiritual master. Even in the ordinary moral codes maintained by Chanaka Pandit, the great politician and moralist, there is no harm in taking lessons from a person who may be by birth less than a sudra. This is one part of the answer. The other is that Vidura was not actually a sudra. He was to play the part of a so-called sudra for 100 years, being cursed by Manduka Muni. He was the incarnation of Yamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans, on the level with such exalted personalities as Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kapila, Bhishma, Prahlad, etc. Being a Mahajan, it is the duty of Yamaraj to preach the cult of devotion to the people of the world as Narada, Brahma, and other Mahajans do. But Yamaraj is always busy in his plutonic kingdom, punishing the doers of sinful acts. Yamaraj is deputed by the Lord to a particular planet, some hundreds of thousands of miles away from the planet of Earth, to take away the corrupt souls after death and convict them in accordance with their respective sinful activities. Thus, Yamaraj has very little time to take leave from his responsible office of punishing the wrongdoers. There are more wrongdoers than righteous men. Therefore, Yamaraj has to do more work than the other demigods who are also authorized agents of the Supreme Lord. But he wanted to preach the glories of the Lord, and therefore, by the will of the Lord, he was cursed by Manduka Muni to come into the world in the incarnation of Vidura and work very hard as a great devotee. Such a devotee is neither a sudra nor a brahman. He is transcendental to such divisions of mundane society, just as the personality of Godhead assumes his incarnation as a hog. But he is neither a hog nor a brahma. He is above all mundane creatures. The Lord and his different authorized devotees sometimes have to play the role of many lower creatures to claim the conditioned souls, but both the Lord and his pure devotees are always in the transcendental position. When Yamaraj thus incarnated himself as Vidura, his post was officiated by Aryama, one of the many sons of Kashyapa and Aditi. The Adityas are sons of Aditi, and there are 12 Adityas. Aryama is one of the 12 Adityas, and therefore it was possible for him to take charge of the office of Yamaraj during his 100 years absence in the form of Vidura. The conclusion is that Vidura was never a Sudra, but was greater than the purest type of Brahman. Jai. All right. Any questions? Oh, 10 o'clock. Well, we should note that hearing is also one of the 9 types of devotional service. It is called Shravan Kirtana, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandam Dasyam, Sakyam, Mandivedanam. Shravanam means hearing. Shravanam Kirtanam, Kirtanam is chanting. And Vishnu Smaranam, remembering Vishnu, remembering Krishna. First 3. Of the 9 processes of devotional service, Shravanam is very important. But Shravanam must be done in the proper association of the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotee. Not one should not just hear anything and everything. Even Bhagavatam, when uttered by the lips of a fruitive person seeking fruitive gain. By preaching Bhagavatam, sometimes people come and give money to hear Bhagavatam. They will pay someone, some Brahmin, to read Bhagavatam because they think in that way they can get some auspiciousness in their lives, for their home, for their job, good family, whatever, good position. That kind of hearing is not recommended. But the kind of hearing and preaching that was being done by Vidura and those he came in contact with, that is beneficial for relieving one from the conditioned existence of material attachment. All right, I think we'll end here. And my dandavats to all. You can say Hare Krishna to one another if you like. Hare Bol, Dandavats.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat. Dandavat Maharaj.
Dandavats. Dandavats.